through so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching. Somebody's trying to find a way. Heavy heart can break your will. A troubled soul leaves time standing still. So if you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head, God's on your side.
Every mountain seems too high.
Every mountain.
Every river looks too wide.
Oh, it looks too wide.
When my dreams are lost at sea.
another hand clap of praise. Praise the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise. What a beautiful, beautiful song. And a mighty God that we want to serve and just worship. And just that desire that's in our heart, that's in our mind, that we just want to serve Him and let Him minister to us through everything that we go through. Through those storms and through the fire. Praise God. Praise God. So good to see y'all this morning that are here with us. Those that are watching on the live feed. Just don't forget our children's church and all the activities going on this time of year. Let's stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. What a wonderful time it is that we can gather together in prayer. Let's all just turn those things off that's distracting us right now. Don't worry about it. Just put it in God's hand.
Amen.
Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it burden you down. Give it to God.
Yes,
and that's what we're doing this morning as we open up our service. We want to do it this morning and every day, not just in church, but in our walk. That we said, God, you got to handle this one. It might be the simplest thing. But I'll be honest with you, if y'all don't know me that well, if you do, you can see me with my band-aids and bruised up and all. It doesn't take much to get banged up in life. But you know, God can handle each and every situation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. If you have a prayer request this morning, show by the raising of your hand.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. We're going to just remember those that are sick and shut in. And I don't have time to go into details, and Miss Elaine would do much better. Had a conversation yesterday morning. I mentioned Sunday school with a lady. Miss Elaine did. We were in Carrollton, a little coffee shop. And this has put on Elaine's heart really big and mine too now about loneliness this time of year and loneliness in life. When things have turned around and you're alone, whether it be through physically alone, through this lockdowns, through the viruses, through all the things that are coming at us, that loneliness, that anxiety, that fear. And there's so many that are suffering right now. We're so blessed. But we need to let that word out what God can do for us in these times.
Amen.
So I want to ask the church just to be in prayer for during this special year. And I know you hear of depression and loneliness a lot during this time of year. But with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He will guide us and He'll hold us up. We're never alone with Him in our life.
Amen.
Praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You for the opportunity You've given us, dear Lord, just to gather together in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, we do not deny how blessed we are. Dear Lord, how special we are that Your love for each and every one of us. But it's not just this church. It's for the world, dear Lord, that Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that You came back here as a child, as an infant, dear Lord, and born in a manger, dear Lord, to live a life of just sinless life, dear Lord, and then to give Yourself for each and every one of us, dear Lord, on the cross. Lord, the perfect Lamb, the perfect sacrifice that none of us could stand in line and do ourselves. Lord, that's the true love, dear Lord, that's the truth. Even before You ever met us, dear Lord, You knew us. Even before we were here, You knew us, dear Lord. And we just praise You this morning. We're praying for those that are struggling right now during this time. Lord, whether they're here with us in person or on live feed. Lord, whether they're people we may meet somewhere in a restaurant, a coffee shop, in a store. Lord, let Your light shine, dear Lord, and let Your light go forward. And, dear Lord, in Your Word, which is more powerful than anything. And, dear Lord, we thank You again for this morning, dear Lord. We thank You. Lord, for those sick and shut in, those that got called out to work this morning that were planning on being with us. Lord, those in nursing homes and in the hospitals, dear Lord, those caregivers, those doctors, those the military, dear Lord, and the police, the fire, dear Lord, all that are working for us right now. And dear Lord, we thank You for them and their dedication. But Lord, we ask for Your blessings to be upon them. We ask now that You'll bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them as they bring forth Your word. Every ministry, everything that comes out of this church, dear Lord, this organization, Lord, may it just go to prosper and to give You the glory. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's give Him that other hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. That song just hit it off perfect that morning, that desire to serve Him and walk in His light. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Praise God. It's a powerful song. Let's all just sing and worship the Lord this morning. be seated if you can. Love each and every one of you. So glad you're able to be with us this morning, whether you're here live or watching on the live feed. And if you're watching on the live feed, we miss you so much. And if this is the first time you've ever tuned in, just pray along with us and just be with us in service and just let the Lord just lead and guide you. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. I don't have any announcements this morning. You're doing your 5 o'clock practice?
Next Sunday is we will have our Christmas program. Oh.
Because you know more about it than I do, right? Is it already next week, huh?
Next Sunday we will be having our Christmas program up here at 11 o'clock. So y'all please come. It's going to be candlelight service, and we're going to have just read scripture and have some singing. But if y'all would, please come and bring your family with you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. We still will have Sunday school. You're probably going to need this for the hour before.
Yep. We'll be practicing up here during Sunday school. So this class.
Okay.
We'll
put it all together. So we will still have Sunday school. We'll combine the two classes if necessary. And we just could meet downstairs. So if you have any trouble with the steps, remember you come around the side of the building and you come in parking lot level and get underneath to the sanctuary, the part we got downstairs around the Sunday school room. So we will have Sunday school next week, but it'll be downstairs. Make plans to come.
Brother Jim. Also, we'll be having practice tonight at 5.
Okay, and for those of you in it, you'll know you'll have practice tonight at 5. And also, be with us at service, too. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord.
Anybody want the Holy Ghost to come down today? Okay, well, those that can, if y'all will stand and sing this song with us. We're going to sing Send It On Down.
Send it on down. Send it on down. circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. You know, that's when I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. I look at all my victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. Thank you, Jesus. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary said, give in. Just hold on. My Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help will always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary said, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Again.
Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Just hold on. best is yet to come. I said, just hold on. When you've done all that you can do, just stand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Satan may have thought he had won, but got news for him. Check the back of the book. Amen. God's going to win, and we're in the kingdom of the Lord. If you love the Lord this morning, give him a great big hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how welcome they are. Amen. Let all of our regulars know how much we love them. And join with me and let Jesus know how much we love him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I have just a couple of announcements here. As Sister Penny has already stated, Sunday coming is the Christmas program, the Christmas presentation. That will be the 20th, next Sunday. There will be no Sunday night service next Sunday, next Sunday only. We will not have Sunday night service. It takes quite a bit to get the presentation going and all, and I know that's a lot of family time. Also, Wednesday the 23rd, we will be having hot chocolate and Christmas cookies in the Curtis Center. Please bring baked goods. Now, the teens and the kids' classes will be normal downstairs, and they're perfectly welcome to join us if they want to for the snacks, but we do not want to deprive them from having their regular service. But instead of us meeting up here, we'll be meeting in the Curtis Center for a little fellowship. And if you like hot cocoa and coffee and Christmas cookies, you know, we don't have to have those. But for those of you that want Christmas cookies, we'll have Christmas cookies and baked goods. Amen. Love me some Christmas cookies. Amen. The little bells on them and the little Santa Clauses and the little sprinkly stuff that you just lick off. Well, that's good. So hopefully to have a good time of the Lord. Amen. Wishing all of this a very safe. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, we certainly appreciate the move of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this place this morning. Do not quench the Spirit. Amen. Let the Spirit of the Lord move mightily this morning. Reading from the book of 1 Chronicles this morning, and thank you for standing as we read the verses this morning in the Holy Word of God. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 21, beginning with verse 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, beginning with verse number 21. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen, also burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for another day and an opportunity, God, to come into your house to worship. Thankful for those who have gathered here today. Father, our prayers and thoughts do go out to those who are suffering, those who are sick, those who may be afflicted. God, I pray, God, with your healing power that you touch and anoint each and every one. Now, Lord, just have your will and way in this service, God. I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay, God, this vessel. Use it, God, and speak through us this morning, God, that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, if there's anyone here today under the sound of my voice who is not ready, who has not made that commitment, who has not accepted Jesus as both Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that this would be the day, God, that they would have a life-changing event, God, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we pray that the Holy Ghost would take charge. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Turn to somebody, give them an air five, and say, "I love you," in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have learned some new words and phrases this year, have we not? My wife told me I never want to hear the term social distancing again. Especially in church. Amen. You grow up Pentecost, you're huggers. Amen. We like to hug. Amen. We love one another, and I praise God that when we all get to heaven, there will be no more social distancing, no 6 foot apart. Amen. What a time we're going to have when we get over there. Amen. That's all right. If you're going with me, give the Lord praise. Amen. I'm looking forward to that time, aren't you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning from the text that we have just read, allow me, if you would, to bring a message text entitled, Whatever the Cost. Whatever the cost. In hindsight here, as we look back in the preceding verses, we find that something terrible has happened to the children of Israel. How many knows that when things happen terribly in our life, God has not forsaken us? Can I repeat that? Just because something has happened bad in our life doesn't mean that God has turned His back on us. We don't see the end result. We don't know the mind or the thoughts of God. We only know to be submissive and obedient and pray the will of God in our life. And when we do that, we relinquish what little self-control we have and we put it in the hands of an almighty Savior. And then the children of Israel were suffering. And can I share with you this morning that many times we think that, sin only affects us if we disobey God or if we do sinful things or if we're steeped in iniquity. And I've often said it many, many times. Sin has consequences, not only to the sinner, but those around the sinner. Those as well. People that you have come in contact with. People that you associate with. We find that David as king of Israel, and the Bible says it this way, that Satan came against Israel. I've heard so many times that we have felt that Satan has come against the nation of America in the year 2020. Can I share something with you? This is not the first year he's come against us. He's just been more emboldened. He's got more people, amen, believing him than he has before. He's got more people denouncing Christianity. And he sees a foothold. And he sees that door cracking open. But I got news for him, amen. That door is not going to open all the way. Because God said, I got a remnant. I got a church. I got a people, amen, that will always stand firm. And church, let me warn you, if we don't stand firm, the rocks are going to cry out. Because God's going to have something. He's going to say, that's the line. You cannot cross it. But Israel here was in a complacent form of worship. And David himself, the Bible says that Satan came against Israel and provoked David. Many knows that Satan sometimes goes to the very top. A man after God's own heart. The little shepherd boy that through the power of God slew the giant. David, who played these wonderful psalms on the harp and was able to calm the spirit of Saul. Amen. Was enticed by Satan himself. And David began to think of himself a little bit higher than he should. And he basically, against the will of God, said, I will now number the children of Israel. In other words, I'm going to take a census. Because he knew that the enemies were around them, and he wanted to see who was on his side, and he wanted the count of the number of people. And even one of his personal seers, if you would, Gad by the name, and he told him, he said, you know what? You know, my Lord, that all of these people have too many to number. They're all under your reign or your kingship. And David said, I want to number them. But it was not God's will. Many, many times we step out and we venture out to do things that we have not been sanctioned by the Holy Ghost. We have not asked God, is it your will? I found out a long time ago, it's not my will that counts, it's the will of God. He's not going to change His will, so I'm the one that's going to have to change my will to coincide with the will of God. So David goes ahead and he gets a number and he counts them and then he realizes that he's sinned a great sin. Things begin to fall apart. You know, I've heard people say, everything in my life is just falling apart. God hadn't. Have you moved God aside?
Have you been more interested in other things that are personally important to you and left very little time for the worship of God? And no wonder you've just explained why everything in your life is falling apart. Your relationship with God cannot be touched by Satan as long as you stand firm and dedicated and committed to God. God's going to make a way in your life. Amen. But things begin to fall apart in Israel. Things begin to go steadily downhill. People were realizing that, and David himself realized that, and he repented. Man, he went to the Lord, and he said, I have sinned. And let me tell you something. God is a forgiver of sin. Can I get a testimony? Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Because not a one of us, amen, have been able to stand and boast that we have never sinned. Because the Bible tells us that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a Savior. There is a forgiver. There is a mediator between us and God. The propitiation of Jesus Christ Himself who took on our sinful nature. So David is a very repentant person now, and he goes to God and he repents. But as I said earlier, sin always has consequences. God speaks to David. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, go and tell David, saying, thus the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. Now, it's not like the three doors on Let's Make a Deal. Come on. Some of us are willing to make a deal with God. As long as we get our way. Let me peep in door one, God. If it ain't what I want, I'll choose door two or three. But let me give you the instances here. These are the options that God spoke to David. Number one, either 3 years of famine. Two more options. I don't want that one. Or 3 months to be utterly destroyed by your foes or your enemies. 3 months is not quite as long as 3 years, but 3 months get the enemies can do a lot of damage. God, I want number three. What's behind door number three? And God says there are 3 days of pestilence. 3 days. Of pestilence. David chooses the third one of pestilence, not realizing how strong and mighty the hand of God is. So God allows a pestilence to strike Israel, and some 70,000 people are killed in a matter of 3 days. We're all about numbers this year, aren't we? Everybody's looking at statistics. My wife read one to me this morning. It's going to shock you if you've read it. In the year, I think it was 2018, they were counting all the deaths related to anything is surpassing this year 2020 with its COVID deaths already. And they didn't shut nothing down in 2018. Those are statistics. The deaths from all causes, that's pneumonia, flu, all of the other health-related causes were greater in the year 2018 than they have already. Well, somebody said, we still got 2 weeks. Were ye of little faith? But in 3 days, pestilence destroyed 70,000 people. David is beside himself. David said, Lord, why are you doing this judgment on the people? They have not erred. They have not sinned. It's all on me. I caused this pestilence. I caused this problem with my sin. Lord, if you do anything, do it unto me. Now, David's getting serious with his repenting now. There's one thing to say, I'm sorry, but there's another thing to fall on your face before God and say, Lord, I know I take the blame. It's my fault that all of this is happening. God, please, please, Lord, stay the hand of this pestilence. And during this time, God sent an angel with a flaming sword to stand against Jerusalem. And God's intention was to fully and absolutely destroy Jerusalem. But he heard David's cry. And God stayed the hand of the angel. And the angel goes and stands by the threshing floor of Ornan. That's not just a hypothetical thing. You know what a threshing floor is? It's where they beat the wheat. Glory to God. I said they beat the wheat. Some of us need to get into the threshing floor. Come on, we have been so high and mighty in our own self. We have been a little self-righteous in our own. But let me tell you, if you want to be humble before the mighty hand of God, go into a spiritual threshing floor and say, God, beat out everything in me that is not holy. Beat out everything that is unrighteous. Beat out my will and let me succumb to your will. God, beat me, bruise me, break me down, but make me anew. How many knows that God will bring you out of that threshing floor? A brand new vessel. Give your Lord praise this morning. Glory to God. And the angel stands over the threshing floor of Ornan. And Ornan and his four sons walk out. And they see this. And the four sons hid themselves for fear. Don't look so surprised. If you walked out of your garage and saw a flaming sword held by an angel just standing there, you think you'd do a little praying? You think you would sort of... Lord. And Ornan sees it. And doubt God moves on David. And he says, one thing I want you to do. I want you to go to the threshing floor of Ornan. And I want you to build an altar there. And I want you to offer up a sacrifice for your sinfulness, for your disobedience. Amen. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about the faces of my precious mother. She's precious now. She doesn't know me, but that smile lets me know that somewhere. But I remember... there were times when I faced the fiery wrath of my mother. Those cute little dimpled cheeks and that perky little nose. And those eyebrows that would once just glow would turn upside down. And she would look at me and she forgot my name. She'd say, young man. I knew when if it was Eddie, I was like, young man. And I knew I was in a mess of trouble. I remember one time we were visiting some friends. And I don't know, I was probably about the size of Trey. And that explains a lot right there. Then I was very rambunctious. Some people say, you know, where did Trey get all of that? And Trey says, it was Papa's fault. They say I'm just like Papa when he was little. And we was cutting up, and mother got on to us, I don't know how many times, and finally she said, all right, that's it. You're getting a whipping when you get home. Well, I did everything in the world I could to get her mind off of that whipping. And as we drove home, I was just doing all kind of things. Mother, you're the sweetest thing. I love you so very much. Have I told you lately how beautiful you are? And I just get, you know. And we got home, we drove up, and I'm thinking, man, oh, so far so good. You know, we walked into the house, everything's good. We walk into our room. Then I hear something. It's kind of like, you ever heard a popping of a bell? Pow, you know, and she's walking down the hall. The perkiness is gone. That cute little smile, Brother Jonathan, he ain't there no more. And she says, young man, you know what I promised you? Oh, no, mother, I don't remember. Yes, you do. You know exactly what I told you. I'm going to give you a whipping. And she did. I couldn't beg her out of it. I couldn't persuade her out of it. She gave me a whipping. But you know what? Not too very long after that, her smile came back. Her perkiness came back. Not that night, but later. And again, she was the faith of a loving mother. just because we disobey God and we reap the consequences doesn't mean He disowns us. Doesn't mean that that smile and that perkiness won't come back to His face in loving us. Because let me tell you, when God punishes us, it's over and done with. And then He reaches out a hand of mercy. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Aren't you glad that He becomes that loving God? God said, David, I need you. I need you to go through the threshing floor. And I need you to build an altar there and offer a burnt offering of sacrifice unto me for penitence, for what you have done, for repentance. It's not David's. It's not his material. It's not his place. It's not his property. But he's the king. And Ornan has seen this angel. So he's already in a spiritual frame of mind. So then David comes up and says, I need to borrow your threshing floor. Yes, sir. And he bows his face down to king and says, not only that, but you take the oxen and you take the wood and you do whatever's necessary. Just treat it like it's yours. It's yours as long as you want it. Do with it whatsoever you will. Build that altar and have my blessing. David said, no. Nay, I can't do that. And this is very, very important, folks, in this message. David said, I cannot offer a sacrifice unto God unless it costs me something. Do you understand that it's going to cost something to succumb to the will of God? In order to worship Him, to adore Him, and be fully dedicated and committed to Him, it's going to cost something. If I take freely the threshing floor, if I take freely the oxen, if I take freely the wood and offer that to the Lord, I've offered something from somebody else. And it didn't cost me anything. Don't be confused. Salvation doesn't cost us anything. Jesus Christ paid the price in full. Can you say amen? On the cross of Calvary when He shed His blood. But it's going to cost us something to live a dedicated and holy life unto God. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. We're going to have to share some of our time. Come on, we're going to have to rearrange some of our priorities. It's going to take a little bit of sacrifice. Amen. It's going to take sacrifice sometimes to kneel down and pray unto the Lord when you don't feel like it. Amen. Fasting is not a thing of yesterday. Fasting is something in the power of God and in the Word of God that we are to continue to do. These things only come about by prayer and fasting. Fasting is a hardship. Fasting is a sacrifice. Whatever the cost, God. Whatever the cost, I want to be totally and wholly Thine. Amen. You know, if in fact we decide to do a fast on the day that our stomach is tore up. That sounds pretty convenient, don't it? I wasn't going to eat anything anyway. Couldn't keep it down. So Lord, I'll just fast. Where's the cost? Where's the cost? I thought about as Lord, the Lord was laying this on me. And you know, God doesn't ask a whole lot from us. You know, He asks very little, to be honest with you, for what He has given us. Eternal life. And you can still go about your daily routine. You can still do in your life. Just put me first. That's not too much to ask. And I thought about my precious son-in-law. He's as humble a man as anybody that I've ever met. And he taught that where they work, they know that he is a praying man. And many, many times, some of his cohorts will come to him and say, can you pray for somebody in my family? Can you pray for? And I think there was a little girl that he was asked to pray for. And Tony, bless his heart, you know, he's like us sometimes, you know, when we're working hard, we just go ahead and, Lord, I'm going to pray from the bed tonight. Nothing wrong with that. I've done it a lot of times. So Donnie was praying, and he happened to remember the request from the man that said, would you pray for my daughter, this little girl or something? And Tony said, oh, yeah, Lord. And it's like God spoke to him. He told me later, he said, God told me, he said, why don't you get out of bed and get down on your knees? You see, it cost a little bit. Is that a great demand? No. Is it wrong to pray from your bed? No. We can pray wherever we have an opportunity. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You're not going to stay in the bed all the time. Well, most of us are not. But anyway, you know, pray whenever you can. So Tony said, you know what? I got down on my knees and I began to pray. First of all, I said, Lord, forgive me for being just a little bit lazy, and I'm getting down on my knees and I'm praying for that little girl right now. And God interceded and touched the girl, amen, because of a little bit of faith and whatever the cost is to be able to reach God. So David said, no, I'm going to pay for it. He said, I'm not just going to pay a little bit. I'm going to pay the full price. Now, you know Ornan would have given him a deal. That's the king. David said, no, I'm going to pay the full price. Amen. Have you ever gone up to a cashier and said, you know what? That just ain't enough money. Let me give you a little bit more. Is that all that is? We had a man when we had the store. Daddy owned the store for 16 years. And his name was Dan Speaks. And he was a character. Oh, man, he was a character. He used to have a little hamburger shop. Made some of the best hamburgers that was ever made in Villarica, Georgia, out there in Fullerville. And he always had this saying. You know, most people, when they come brought their groceries, you know, and they say, whoo. And Daddy said, what? I've got to make a living. You know, whoo, that's high. But not Dan Spinks. Every time that he would come, whatever it was, whether it be $1, $5, $10, $20, when you ring up the total, he said, is that all? He said it every single time. And in fact, I've done that. I've used that. And you want to get a perplexing look on the cashier's face when she rings it up and you're the only customer that's come by in a whole month. And you said, is that all that is? What a deal. And they'll look at you like, are you all right? But that was Dan every single time. Is that all? And he'd pay the money. You know, never fussed about anything being too high at all. But you know, David said, no, I don't want any deals. I want this to cost me the full price. And I thought about it. God, I don't want to take any shortcuts with you. You've never taken shortcuts with me. You've never put me off. You've never bargained with me. Lord, I don't want to bargain with you. I don't want to say certain things like, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Lord, I don't want that to happen to me. I want to pay the full price, God. I want to do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I want to, whatever the cost is, whatever I have to lay aside, whatever I have to put behind me, however I have to rearrange my schedule, however I have to rearrange my priorities, God, help me to keep you first in my life, always serving you above everything else. And if I do that, then all the other things will come into play just like God wants them to. Amen? So David does. He pays him the full price, and God stays the hand of the destruction of Israel and of Jerusalem. And I thought about the many other people in the Bible. A number of them, in fact, who took the cost and counted the cost and saw it needful to make a sacrifice unto the Lord, even when it hurt. Remember the story of Abraham, God's friend? A friend? You know, a friend is going to basically, you know, comfort you. But you know what God asked Abraham to do? He said, take your son Isaac, your only son, and take him to a place that I'm going to show you, and I want you to offer him there for a sacrifice unto me. Now, some would say, that's asking too much, God. You're asking my one and only son, Lord, that it was a promise and a gift to you. You told me, Lord, that I would be the father of the sands of the sea, too numerous to count, that my seed. And now you want to take my son. But Abraham was a friend of God. And Abraham kissed his wife and took Isaac, his son, and he took some of his servants, and they didn't. He said, well, we're going. He said, we're going to a place where God told us to go. Can you imagine the little boy? We'll say, Daddy, where's the offering? Where's the sacrifice? You remember what Abraham said? Was it Jehovah Jireh? God will supply. God will supply. He never said, son, it's you. He just said, God will supply. And he went as far is to build the altar. And laid his son on the altar. And not only that, he drew back the knife and he was ready to give his son to God because God asked him to. And God sent an angel and said, no, spare his life. Spare his life. Just wanted to see if you was willing. Oh, and this story gets sweeter and better. Just happened to be a ram caught in the thickets. Somebody say, how'd he get that? God put him there. God will always have a scapegoat. God will always have an alternative. Hallelujah. If we'll just put him first. You make a sacrifice, that ram will show up at your house. And it's even sweeter. Such a type and shadow of God giving up his son. But he went through with it. But there in the thickets was a ram caught in the briars in the thickets. And he took that ram. And you know what was wrapped all around his head? The same type of thorns that the Romans made a crown and placed it on Christ's head. You think that was a coincidence? Oh no, it's a type and shadow. Abraham, I asked you to give your son and you was willing. But I'm giving my son for the sins of this world. And he became the sacrificial lamb. Tell me God doesn't know what he's doing. God always knows what he's doing. Thank God for that sacrificial lamb. But Abraham never said the cost is too great. Whatever the cost. Daniel rose to prominence, the king of Babylon. But some snitchers, tattletellers, after the decree, said, old king, old Daniel over there, he still opens up his windows and prays three times a day back to his God. Is it true, Daniel? Yes, it's true. Whatever the cost, I'll not deny my God. Even if it's facing the lions in a den, I will not succumb to your authority. You know, because I'm going to pray just like I always did. And the cost was he did have to go into the den of lions. But God shut the mouth of the lions. Are you a little bit tired of those lions? I am. Just a roaring. Every channel. All over Facebook. It worked. At home. No, I'm not at home. Got lambs at home. Why are you disturbing God? Why you won't go to church all the time? What's God ever done for you? Oh, let me tell you. He brought me up out of the heart of a pit. He set me on a rock. He established my goings. He washed my sins away. I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. Hallelujah. That's what He done for me. That's what He done for me. Hallelujah. Daniel never said, the cost is too great. You know the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How easy it would have been to bow. How easy it would have been to go along with the crowd. You know, we're told today, just go along with the crowd. Everything will work out. No, it won't. It won't. No, it won't. That's what Satan wants you to do. Go along with the crowd. I don't know, just as a poll. Trust a poll about as far as you can throw one. But I just for my, my curiosity. Mama used to say, curiosity killed the cat. That was when her face was sweet, not mean. But I wonder what she's talking about. But just a poll, quick poll. Have we got any that would stand and not bow to the political correctness, to the overreaching boundaries of Satan in the world today? Have we got some Christians? Have we got some people who said, I will stand for God, whatever the cost, I will not bow, I will not bend, I will not go to political correctness, I stand firm for God, He stood for me, and I'm going to stand for Him. Well, glory! That's more than three! That's more than three! And God came on the scene for three that stood up. Hallelujah. Whatever the cost. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never said, the cost is too great. Job lost everything, including his family. Never once blamed God. Looked at his life instead. Where have I missed it? How have I angered you? But in all of his devastation and in all of his loss, the Bible says he fell down and worshiped God. Lord, whatever the cost, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I serve him. Job never once said, Lord, the cost is too great. God had such abundant mercy on Job that we spend all of our time preaching about what happened in just a span of 2 years, and we leave out the last 140 years of Job's life, when God blessed him manifoldly more than he had ever been able to imagine in his life. He gave him more and better than he ever had. And for the last 140 years, Job fared sumptuously, because that face turned into that smiling face, said, I'm going to love you. I'm going to protect you. But I will be first, whatever the cost. And time again. But I want to leave you with this. My daddy, when he owned the store, a lot of people say, why do you put that apron on and you get back there and put out stock and you go back there and you cut up chickens and you sweep the floor. Now you're even out there in the bottle tin, help, you know, straightening out the returnable bottles. And I know the millennials have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, you got to stand 6 feet apart. Now, I grew up in a generation, you drank a Coke after 30 other people done drunk it. And just took your word that somebody had sanitized it. It was good. But Daddy would get out there and put up bottles in the bottle pen. Somebody asked him one time, Charlie, why do you do all that? He said, I won't ask any of my people that work for me to do anything that I wouldn't do. He just set that example. God's not going to ask anything out of us that we're not able to do. Oh, Lord, please don't ask me to do that. You know I can't. God doesn't make a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was talking to Thomas. He knows who he's talking to. When he asks you to do something, when he asks you to sacrifice, when he asks you to pray, when he asks you to worship, when he asks you to fast, whatever it is, he knows exactly who he's talking to. And we say, Lord, whatever the cost, because he has set the example. And he set the example when on the night that some shepherds were out in their field tending their flock, lo, an angel appeared to them and said, this night a Savior is born. Amen. Begin to sing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And a multitude of angels joined them. Imagine seeing that. And they went to see this great sight, this little baby that was born in all of the most humble surroundings, in a little trough, in a manger that the cows and the sheep fed out of, packed a little straw. And God said, because you have sinned, and because there has to be a blood atonement, and because there is none on this earth who could ever qualify to be a sinless sacrificial lamb, I will give you my son, Jesus Christ. And he was born in that stable. And you know, he grew up to be the sacrificial lamb. He knew what his will was. Oh, whatever the cost. And even Jesus, that lonely night, when the three disciples were not able to stay awake to pray with him on his last night before they came and took him away, He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. You think sometimes we've prayed an hour and we've made a great sacrifice. He prayed all night long. That was his flesh crying out, Father, is there another way? Is there any other way? God, I'm willing, but this is a lot to ask. Nevertheless, whatever the cost, verbatim, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus gave it all. So God knows what he's doing. When he asks us, whatever the cost, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to serve me? He's not asking something that's impossible. Because all things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. When God deals with you, just be obedient. It may go against the flesh. It may go against your time schedule. You might say, God, it's not the most opportune time right now. But God has a reason. I could go into so much more detail how that the Lord has used men in many, many times in many ways, and they've made great sacrifices, not only in the Bible, but men of God that we know. I'll just share you with this. Brother T.C. Montgomery, a man that grew up in the Pentecostal ranks and was probably one of the most instrumental men in the state of Georgia as opening at churches around. You might want to say or compare him to the Apostle Paul when he was evangelizing Galatia and Ephesus and all that. He was just establishing churches, and he had pastored, and he had been the presbyter and the general superintendent over Georgia, Brother T.C. Montgomery. And back in his early years when he was out on the circuit, you know, he used to go from stump to stump and brush arbor to brush arbor preaching the Word of God. And you know what they never ask? How big a congregation do you have and what can you afford to pay me? He never asked that. But he went to one little mountain town and they were not very receptive. In fact, they heard he was coming. And they had already spread news through the little community that they was not going to have one of them holy roller preachers coming up and disturbing their little community. And actually, he came anyway. He knew that. And he was preaching. And to make a long story short, they threatened him. They finally took him. This is an actual story. They don't do that anymore. They would be probably breaking the law, but they tarred and feathered him and ran him out of town. And you would think Brother T.C. Montgomery said, Lord, this is what I get for preaching the Word. How could you allow that to happen to me? But that was not his testimony. Got rid of the tar, got rid of the feathers, kept establishing churches, kept preaching. The night he died, the day he went home with the Lord, he's still preaching, still singing. He sang that song about don't stand in the shadows. Come out and be counted with the children of the Lord. What a great testimony. You might would think, Lord, if that ever happened to me, that would be too big of a cost to do. But are we willing to say, Lord, whatever the cost, whatever the cost. And know this fact. God said, I will not put more on you than you're able to bear. Would you stand? God bless you. Love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. During this seasonal time, as we worship and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, I think it's a good time to take inventory of your life and of your soul. And if you're not ready and if you're not prepared to meet the Lord, please come and be at this altar today. Please accept Jesus Christ. If you have a need as well, we'll pray with you. The Bible says if any sick or afflicted, let them call for the elders of the church. Pray and anoint with oil. We're going to do that now. Praise God. All right. Certainly our